You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio. All right, so we're back. CWCBE. Everything's popping. People rolling around. Checking all the different booths, all the different things that are going on. And today I got my boy Noah from Strain Print Technologies. How you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm doing well, thanks. How you doing?
Good, man. So you East Coast man, West Coast, where are you from?
East Coast, up in Canada, in Toronto.
Oh, Canada. Shout out to my my boy here from Canada, where it is official.
Boom.
Canada is legal, man. One of the second country, right?
That's right. That's right.
But definitely a lot bigger than Jamaica, right? Because I believe, were they the first or no?
No.
What was considered first?
You wouldn't guess if I gave you four more at, oh man, now I'm on the spot and it's slipping my mind.
Who number one was?
I'm going to pull up my phone and look in Google.
Well, let's as a first stonerness,
That's right.
Let's have my one boy who we got with us look that up. And so Canada, man, how's it feel coming to America and like checking out the whole cannabis, you know, situation a lot different than Canada?
Yeah, well, our program has been medical
the whole time,
many years now, and now we're moving over to it being recreational available. And I think what's going to be interesting is to watch the language change from recreational and adult use to
sure.
therapeutic. And
interesting.
And that's where, you know, the guy that is in his late 50s and 60s. Uses cannabis with his buddies for kicks because it's legal now, and
sure,
he finds a shoulder relief.
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Uruguay.
Shout out to Uruguay.
Yeah, they're the leaders.
So, Uruguay and Jamaica are fucking tiny compared to Canada.
Yeah, man.
So, I mean, I really think, like, shout out to Canada is really going to be the first major mover in a lot of countries deciding to go legal now because of it.
Eyes are on us. Yep. Eyes are on us. Right now is the time. We got to make sure we do it respectfully.
I'm not gonna put you on the spot. Canadian bud or American bud?
I got to tell you, I was just in Israel, and they have some of the best shit I've seen.
In Israel?
Yeah.
Shout out to my tribe motherfuckers out there in Israel doing their thing. Really?
Yeah.
That's very fucking surprising. Bomb, huh?
When we get offline, I'll tell you the story.
Oh, man, hell yeah. I want to hear that for sure. Absolutely. All right, tell me about your company.
All right, so Strain Print is a mobile application that people can use to track and journal their medical cannabis usage. It comes out of the really real problem that when you are told you can use cannabis for your symptoms, nobody really gives you a good idea of what you can use. And the best thing that they say is take a journal. So we have an app. People can journal. And we take that data.
And the journaling, what is it? They put in the strain, how much they smoke. Let's talk about what it is that you journal from it.
Beautiful. So in Canada, one of the big differences between Canada and the U.S. is the standardized lab verification. It's not the same case in Canada where you give the same product to four labs and they'll come out with four different results.
Okay.
Much more standardized. So when we say a strain, frankly, I don't care if it's OG Kush or Blueberry Lamb's Bread or whatever.
Whatever it is.
It's the chemical profile we care about.
Okay.
THC, CBD, other cannabinoids, terpenes.
Now, if someone is journaling, I picked up this Blue Dream, then does your database automatically pull the analytics from that? How does that work?
We have the lab verification. They will select from the menu of what they got.
I got you.
Now, if they got from Billy Bob down the street some Blue Dream OG
or whatever
Kush,
it is,
they can log that too, but we don't really take that into account in the big data play.
You don't count it in the big data play, but for someone's own journaling, though, they can use it to journal. But when you guys are working with data that comes from actual dispensaries and you already have their lab information and the testing on those products and stuff, then you're giving the best advice with that, right?
That's exactly right. And the other big difference is, for the most part, and until today, people will get directly from the growers, the cultivators. We call them LPs.
Okay, so LP in Canada.
That's right. So they get them.
And what does the LP stand for?
Legal producers.
Oh, legal producer. Okay.
So you are assigned to an LP directly. So you say, I went to, there's a lot of them out there, and I got this strain from that LP, and so we'll know what it is.
Okay, that's interesting. So, and you log all the different ones. How many legal dispensaries now with Canada being legal. Now, I'm not going to say how many recreational out of those, but how many dispensaries were there up to now, let's say?
All the retail locations that you could walk into in Canada. And in Toronto, there were many.
Not even medical, let's say.
They were all illegal until yesterday.
Everything was illegal until yesterday.
The only way in Canada you can get legal cannabis was ordering online from your LP and getting it sent in the mail.
Oh wow. So you couldn't physically walk into a place, smell the bud, look at the bud, check out the edibles, check out all that stuff. You couldn't do that, huh? Very interesting. Wow.
And the only thing that was
legal.
Let
me ask you something.
Yeah.
Have you gone into any shops while you were, you know, I'm not, they don't have them here in mass, but like any rec shops when you've been in the States or no?
Not this trip, not in Boston, but I've been in Vegas.
Oh, in Vegas. Yeah. So how did that feel walking into a place where you could like see all the different stuff and have this like supermarket type experience? Like, how did that feel?
I wish I could tell you it was incredible, but
it wasn't.
I got the same feeling that I would get in head shops years ago, where it wasn't as inviting and warm of a place. I didn't feel the...
It was too corporate-y, or what was it? I don't understand.
It was like... not corporate, but just like the guys didn't give a shit. They didn't like want to help me through what
sure,
I wanted.
Sure, sure.
And this is something you hear in the head shop and walking into dispensaries a lot.
Really?
That it's not as inviting of an environment as you might want it to be. The one I would go to in Toronto, which wasn't legal and doesn't exist anymore.
Sure.
It was wide open, bright. You think you're walking into like a expensive flower shop sort of thing.
Sure. So, I got you.
So, I mean, I'm looking
forward.
Are you
excited to go and checking out shit and seeing what's up? Now, how many, now with it turning legal, it doesn't mean that all of those shops automatically turned legal. They all had to register in this and do whatever they do, right? And based on the area, right, they only limit how many you're allowed to have at the same time also, right?
Yeah, and each province is different, and cities can opt out. So some cities even aren't going to have anything.
Yeah, and that happened in California and Colorado and a lot of these other states where actually counties didn't want that what they felt negative tourism and things like that happening in their counties. So they decided to put a provisional ban on it.
Yeah, we see that too. Now, what I hope is going to happen is through seeing the data that we produce about how beneficial it is for different symptoms and indications.
Yeah.
And
it was hard to do it before because you're logging into stores that technically you're building a database on illegal shit.
Absolutely.
Right? Now you can do that database. And is it almost where you guys are almost having to start all over again now?
Or what's the deal? We're primarily medical focused. So the majority of our data, 90% of our data is based on legal product.
Okay. Okay.
10% is logged of non-legal product. It's funny though, we've got 1,100, almost 1,200 different strains cataloged.
In the thing catalog? Okay.
On the medical side.
Okay.
There's 14,000 strains people have entered on the non-medical side.
Oh, so when they put in their app and they're journaling and they're saying, okay, I have this, you know, shishka berry, blah, 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 that they maybe got from their friend or this or whoever it is. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's an overwhelming amount of difference.
But that only makes up 10% of the overall data, though.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting. Now, are you you're doing edibles and oil and shatter and all cannabis products, or are you mainly monitoring flower?
We allow people to say that they're using any method to take it in because of what I said. If somebody's using something, shatter or something, and to relieve their anxiety or knee pain, I'm not one to tell them not to log it and journal it.
Sure.
But I don't know anything about that strain. I don't know how much THC, CBD, or...
It's hard to give them advice.
Yeah.
Essentially, right? So.
Yeah, but our data is going to drive retail strain recommendations, pharmacy, medical clinics, doctors. We're going to drive pharmacies to build formulations to... we are the world's largest longitudinal study on cannabis efficacy.
Interesting. And what are some of your favorite strains?
blueberry lamb's bread.
Okay.
From Whistler Medical. The oil, I only do oils because I have asthma.
And okay, interesting. Oils. Sure, sure.
Blows my mind.
Nice.
Yeah.
Any other guys you want to give shout-outs to?
I want to give shout-out to the whole Strain Print team. We are doing things to really help people every single day. So everyone, download the app, check it out, look us up online, join the new Strain Print community that just launched yesterday.
Oh, nice.
And let's all medicate mindfully.
Absolutely, my brother. Thank you so much. Any Instagram? You guys on the Grammy or anything like that? Facebook? Any social media?
Yeah, I'm sure, and I should know them, and I don't. So, Jess, I'm sorry.
It's all right. What's the main site they could find everything from?
Strainprint.com.
So you guys check out Strainprint.com. Help you journal your smoking habits. Get a little bit of great advice from them. Help, you know, monitor and kind of recognize what things are the right things for you, your ailments, or whatever it may be. And speaking of all these fucking strains, let's go try a couple, actually.
Yeah, so, man.
All right, my brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
All right, so we're back, CWCBE, checking everything out, looking at all the different booths and all the interesting people we have in the cannabis industry. And today we have Karis Jackson from American Shaman CBD.
American Shaman, yes.
So let's before we actually get into why you got into the cannabis industry and the company, why don't we talk about what you did prior to this?
Oh, boy. Now that's a story. Kind of all over the place, honestly. All of my jobs that I've been in have either been customer service oriented or food industry. I've worked anywhere from a pool as a supervisor to Walmart to Starbucks, almost anything in between.
So that's interesting. You go and do all these different jobs, and then all of a sudden you get wrapped up into the cannabis industry and start learning about CBD, right?
Yep. I had literally never heard of it prior to getting this job. I was like, okay, this is something new. I enjoy change. So.
And then you have those people that tell you, you know, oh, it cures cancer and this and all this stuff. And at first you're probably like...
At first I'm Googling, is this stuff legal? Is this marijuana? What is this?
Yeah,
I was totally that new.
And is it bullshit? Probably you were wondering too, right? The bullshit detector started going...
I was like, if this is real, I would have heard about it. So I was absolutely skeptical going in.
And when did you start hearing about it?
So, I actually have worked with the former chief operating officer of this company before, Todd Underwood.
He hired me on to his other...
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Todd. he hired me on to his company that he started about 2 years ago, so that's how I know him, just professionally speaking.
And was it a cannabis-based thing also, or wasn't?
No, it's totally different. It's in the firearm space.
Okay, okay, yeah.
So absolutely.
Guns and weed.
That's right. So he's clearly into some interesting stuff. So.
And then, okay, so he tells you about the CBD
thing.
So
he tells me about this job. He's like, this is my day job. This is what I do to, you know, help pay the bills. Do you want a job? And so I'm like, okay. And that's when I started looking in. He was saying that the money was great. It was a growing industry, and I just simply had to do my research going in because I had never heard of it.
Okay, so you start doing research, and what do you find out?
Well, I do see that there are a lot of good sources saying that this has helped him with all kinds of things, from inflammation to depression, anxiety to pain. And I'm starting to see that, like, this is something that isn't just, oh, a company that sells something saying, yes, our products work. It's people.
Yeah.
Real experiences saying, yes, CBD oil has changed lives.
And
so,
what state are you guys? Where are you rocking from?
So CBD American Shaman is in Kansas City, Missouri.
All right. So
I am on the Kansas side. I drive about 5 minutes to work. But yes, I am on the Kansas side.
So this is cool because I get to interview all these people from all over the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
and we're Cali based. So you can imagine that. A lot of the people we interview are West Coast and, you know, a couple on the East Coast. But I can officially say that you are the first from Kansas.
Holla, Casey Mo.
Got any shout-outs, any friends, anybody back in the hometown?
Oh, boy. All my coworkers, of course, are going to be extremely jealous that I'm here. But, yeah, like, shout-out to Vince. Vince is the man. He's our CEO.
Shout-out to Vince.
You know, he brought us all here. So
let's talk about the company. What is it you guys produce and do?
All right, so we make CBD oil products. We have our own farms where we grow the hemp, then we extract it, and we get it delivered to our warehouse in Kansas City, which is where I am out of. And that is where we make our line of products.
Okay, right cool. There. Now, so is Kansas now known for a big CBD hemp producing state? Because I really didn't, I mean, I didn't know too much about it.
I mean, Kansas is extremely traditionalist, as you might imagine.
Yeah, do people look at you?
Dragging its heels about everything.
So because of that environment, is it come up to be, I'm not going to say weird or whatever, but like when you're first telling your friends, hey, I'm getting into this CBD, this mm-hmm. is like hemp, whatever, like in a place like Kansas, do they kind of look like almost like negatively at first?
No,
about,
and
or?
Especially because my friends are of the millennial quote unquote age group. We're
okay,
a little more
sure.
open-minded to it. But
okay.
of course, I also have lots of friends that have experimented in the less legal side of things.
Sure.
So therefore,
sure.
they were less judgmental. But my parents, for example,
okay,
I
how
was
were
slow
they?
To tell them about it. But once I explained it to them, they were like, oh, okay. So Kansas is slow to accept new things. But honestly, it's opening its eyes. And especially with how much CBD oil is changing lives, it can't resist change forever.
Sure.
So it's
sure.
coming around.
So when did the company start? Do you know?
3.5 years ago.
Okay,
I don't know the exact date.
No,
I only started in January.
Around like 3.5, 4 years. Okay, great. Yep. So they've had a lot of time to sell to a lot of people and get a lot of comments mm-hmm. and things about products and, you know, maybe mm-hmm. make some adjustments to what they do.
And, you know, the way our company started was extremely interesting anyway, because
tell me.
As far as I know, it was never intended to be an actual company. So Vince, our CEO, he years ago had an uncle who got diagnosed with some kind of lung cancer of some sort, and he was looking into options. And
okay.
of course, chemo, radiation, all these things. These
sure.
are the normal methods that people use to help with cancer, and sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so he thought there's got to be something better. He heard about CBD oil and was looking into how he could use that to help his uncle. And he, having a science background of some sort, he was able to figure out that CBD oil could help, but it could also be enhanced.
Okay.
So he basically
started. Is that where the shamanic part comes in, or the spiritual adding to the product, or why choose the shaman?
Sure. You know I'm not exactly sure when that came into play, but
sure.
it was more of him wanting to find something other than the opioids, the pharmaceuticals.
Sure.
Something more naturally
sure.
based to help.
Sure.
So he was able to come up with this proprietary nanotechnology process that we use for
okay.
our products.
And let's also, for the layman who don't know,
mm-hmm.
you just threw out nanotechnology.
Yep. So for those who don't know.
Why don't we explain that?
So nanotechnology is what makes a molecule super teeny tiny. So something is considered a nano molecule if it is under 100 nanometers. So
okay.
it's a unit of measurement.
Okay.
So since...
And what's the benefits of that?
Well, here's the benefits. CBD oil is, in fact, an oil. If you take oil and put it in water, it separates because it's
sure.
oil and water.
Yeah, of course.
So the main thing that a lot of CBD oil companies out there don't realize is that we as human beings are made of 60 to 65% water. So when you're taking a CBD oil product, a lot of it is being wasted simply because oil does not dissolve in water. So that's literally the process. We break down the size of the molecule so that is 100% soluble in water. If you take it and put it in a glass of water, you watch it dissipate. It does
oh,
not
wow.
separate.
Okay, so it blends with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
exactly.
of how, because is it because that the molecule itself is so small
yep.
that it's smaller than the water molecule or
that
something?
Is, exactly
is that what it is?
And that's
how
and that's
it
the problem with oil
wow.
because the molecule is bigger.
Wow, that's really interesting.
So a little science lesson for everybody.
And is it just an oil product you guys have, or what different things do you
oh
have?
Boy, we've got a lot. So
oh boy.
We use the nanotechnology to make our products, but we have dietary supplements that you take by mouth. We have
awesome.
Tinctures you put under the tongue, which people are used to.
Flavored tinctures?
Flavored,
or?
Oh yeah.
Let's talk
tons
about some of the flavors.
Flavors.
Let's talk about.
So Blueberry Moon is one of our big ones. It's basically blueberry pie. It's delicious.
Okay.
Strawberry, banana, watermelon. We got cherry limeade, tropical punch. We got
cherry
pina colada.
Limeade. I like it. So
it's
do
awesome.
You try,
and then we
do
have
you try all these different ones or no?
I have.
You got a favorite?
Yes, I do. Strawberry banana.
Okay. That's a goal.
Blueberry
awesome.
Moon is the reigning king, I feel like. Most people love that blend
as far
of
as sales,
fruity
whatever.
And buttery deliciousness.
Now,
but I mean, there's something for everybody.
Is it strong of a flavor that you just take it as a tincture in your on your tongue, or do you like maybe take the tincture and pour it into a glass of water and it kind of flavors it a little bit, or what's the deal?
So here's what I'll tell you. Your regular tincture that is an oil product, like literally if you were to put it in water, it will not separate. That's something you need to take under your tongue just because it's an oil. It's,
sure.
It's not going to be absorbed any better than that.
Okay.
But our water-soluble product and our VG Cloud, these are the products that we make with the proprietary nanotechnology. It's variants on the industry standard tincture. So those are ones that you can put into a drink. The VG Cloud, we made it so that you can also vape with it. So you can either put it into a drink or you can vape with it. It gives you that versatility.
Wow.
So it's pretty sweet.
And now because it's hemp derived because of Kentucky and
all
things
of our
like
products
that, for
come
sure.
from hemp, industrial
so
hemp.
So you can ship it, right?
Yep.
All
yep.
over.
All 50 states. We ship internationally. We've got customers in Canada, Australia. We've got some in Europe. London, for example.
Now,
I've shipped to Brazil.
Kentucky was one of the, this is what's very interesting, even though they're, like you said, not as forward thinking as, let's say, Cali mm-hmm. and other places. Mm-hmm. But it was actually, if I remember, Kentucky is one of the first places that actually got hemp to be implemented for growing, right? Or was
I don't know that off the top of my head.
I'm pretty sure that Kentucky was one of the actual leaders before even Colorado and everybody started getting into it.
Me.
Yeah.
I know there was
a lot of forward thinking going on in Kentucky, and Kentucky does supply a lot of CBD to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Colorado and California.
Exactly. It's not. Our farms are actually in Kentucky, Colorado, and Montana.
Oh, okay. So you're in multiple different
mm-hmm.
places, but probably started in Kentucky.
Probably.
Yeah, which makes sense. You guys got a website?
We do, yes. www.cbdamericanshaman.com. You can buy it there as a retail customer. We also have wholesale and distributor programs.
Oh,
you
nice.
You can start on as a franchise. I mean, we have been growing exponentially the last few months. But yeah, you buy it online, we ship it to your door. Super simple.
Awesome. Check out the site. You guys got an Instagram or a little Facebook or social media popping?
Oh my gosh. So we have a main Facebook. We also have a Facebook group where we even get like the recommendations and suggestions and critique from our customers.
And how do they get on that?
So if you just go to Facebook and you search American Shaman, you can find any one of our pages for individual franchise locations,
okay.
but also the corporate Facebook page and group.
Oh, and how many individual franchise locations do you guys have? Holy cow. I mean,
so
well, you're
up
all over
and
now.
Running between 100 and 150.
Wow.
And I will let you know that when I started
wow.
in January, we had like 20 stores.
What?
We're growing like 20% a month.
Wow.
It is insane.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, shout out to what you're doing, and obviously it's a great product, or you would not have that many people jumping aboard.
We're here,
that's
it's
crazy.
Awesome, so we're grateful.
And do you get to pop around Cali and all these different franchises to see what's going on?
Yep, our CEO is extremely involved, so he will routinely stop by for everyone's store opening to help him cut the ribbon, to provide support. He's extremely active in everybody's lives, so he's not the distant sort of CEO. He's the perfect
kind
guy
of
for
like
the job. He cares about the people.
Provides the money and doesn't do too much.
Absolutely. He'll come to the office. He'll pick up the phone whenever customers are calling in, even, when there are customer service people in the office doing that already. He's in it.
That's awesome. Are you guys going to be hitting any other shows?
Oh, yeah. So we're going to be there in Supply Side West here in Vegas in November. We're trying to get in as many shows as we can, but we're just starting out. So which ones, I don't know, but we're trying to get into as many as we can.
And if
so.
People want to check it out, they can check it out on social media.
Always. Instagram,
see your schedule,
Facebook, we're on there.
Wherever it is, American Shaman, a great name and what sounds like great product and somewhat of a spiritual influence to it as well.
So yeah, the American Shaman, I think it's based on the Native Americans' idea that how we are as human beings, our spiritual well-being, as well as like the physical well-being, it can be tied into nature itself rather than artificial pharmaceuticals, opioids, and anything else that is man-made. It can be garnished from the earth itself. So we were trying to get away from the artificial sort of medical side of things where people think they are required to use all these drugs to feel better. No, there are natural options out there.
Nice, and I'm glad that you guys came up with these natural options for everybody, American Shaman. Check it out. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I definitely think I might want to try some of these flavors and see
what you got going on
and definitely let people know about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
All right, so we're back. CBE Boston. Took a little break, had to get my little medicinal smoke on and everything. And it's always a lot of fun when we get to hear all the different people in the cannabis industry. Got to hear so many different things, and you know, security and software and terpenes and all these various things that you're doing. But you're also, you know, CWCBE is a business investor exhibition. It's a lot about all the different things that are going on in the industry, and a lot of people are running around trying to raise money. That's the one thing that you always hear in the cannabis industry, is that I got this great idea, I want to go raise all this money, and I'm going to go run around these shows in these different places to try to get myself out there and try to meet the right person who enjoys my vision and what it is I do. But today, got a real cool guy, Dan Humiston, and he has this really cool podcast in the cannabis industry, and I always like to shout out to my guys out there putting the word out and getting people to understand. And he's got the MJ Bulls podcast. What's up, my brother? How you doing today?
I'm doing great. By the time, what time is it?
Right now, it's almost 4:20, my favorite time of the day. Well, we got to smoke. But right now, we're going to do your interview because it's time of the day. And then after that, I'm going to get my 4:20 on for sure. But before we talk about the podcast, what did you do prior to the cannabis industry?
I was in the tanning industry.
Okay. Yeah. Tanning. Tanning for how long?
31 years.
31 years. Yeah. Now, when you say tanning industry, was it selling tanning products?
No, I had tanning salons.
So you had tanning salons.
Yeah, tanning salons, and then had a software company.
Are the salons, even though you're not the owner, are they still around?
They're under different names.
Under different names.
Yeah, it was largest tanning salon chain in New York State, one of the largest in the country.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. So you're from New York?
Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo. Yeah. Oh, shout out to Buffalo. To all my
boys.
All my students freezing their ass off at SUNY Fredonia.
No way.
And my good friends went to Fredonia and Buffalo University.
You sure?
Love it. All the stories about during the winter time where the snow would go so far up that you could almost slide out of your dorm room if you're on the first floor and cruise down the snow and shit.
Well, I had a tanning salon in Fredonia.
Nice. Yep. And come on, the most important thing about Buffalo, New York, are the Wild Wings, the originator of the greatest wings on the planet.
Yeah, and it's not wings. They're not buffalo wings. They're just wings.
Yeah, they're just wings.
And people are like, oh, you want to have some buffalo wings? I'm like, no, they're wings.
Go have some wings for sure.
You don't need to call them
buffalo wings.
But
the one that's interesting about what I consider, which is so great, is I don't like my wings necessarily to be like all soggy and whatever.
Like crispy? So,
but in Buffalo, they're the masters of creating the flavor, the sauce, this and everything, but it's still being crispy and delicious, you know?
There's a lot of different, opinions on that, but there's no debate as to where that style started.
Where it started was up there, that's for sure.
And I remember being a kid and people would be like going, hey, you know what we should do when we get older? We should open up a store and sell chicken wings in Florida. And I'd be like, oh, okay. And then Hooters did it. Hooters was like the first company to sell wings outside of Buffalo.
Yeah, and they really went hardcore. Absolutely. Yeah. And when did you decide you wanted to start venturing into cannabis?
Well, I started this show in 2014.
Okay.
What
made you say, okay, I'm done?
Well,
I sold tanning things.
Tanning was at the, we were at the twilight of tanning. It was, unfortunately, regulations and bad press just killed the industry. So in about 2012, I started looking for something else. And then,
yeah, a lot less people, right? Tanning was such a monster thing, right? I mean, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, going to high school in the 90s and stuff, and graduating in the 90s. And And that was the thing, man. Oh, yeah, everyone was like,
We sponsored every high school in upstate New York, their prom. We sponsored every prom.
Oh yeah.
And then they made it illegal for teenagers to tan, and that really hurt our business, considering that was my whole marketing strategy.
Yeah, for sure, because at that time you probably had more than half were under 18, right? Probably
Sure.
15, 16, 17,
our busiest month of the year was May.
Sure.
For prom season.
Sure.
And then it went to, like, that was like the third busiest month.
Yeah, because it wasn't getting warm enough yet in New York for you to get your sexy tan on.
And it's prom season.
And it's
every
prom season.
Every kid is getting ready.
Everyone wants a little tan.
Not anymore. So then I rolled into cannabis, and I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I started a trade show. And
oh, you did?
This trade show, I started this. And
yeah.
Started it in Vegas, and then I did New York in 2014, and then I took on some partners, and...
And let's be honest, it's a big project, man, doing the CWCB, putting this whole thing together.
Oh.
You got all these exhibitors, all these guys in the booths, logistics, people flying down, hotels. I mean, you went from tanning, right?
Yeah.
To I'm going to have a fucking giant exhibition. What made you do that? I mean, that's a huge endeavor.
I'll tell you what, the honest truth is I was... in some way reverse engineering the industry because there was no data out there, so I didn't really know where the opportunities were. But I knew in a trade show, because I had experience in the tanning industry, I knew in a trade show you would get to see where all the good ideas were.
Okay.
And you'd get to see, and so that was my initial idea, is I'd do the trade show and do my own conferences and find out, you know, where the opportunities were. And then I got in the trade show and I was like, wow, I don't need anything else. This is a really good opportunity.
Yeah.
So running the trade show, and you're right, this is a million moving parts.
So the first one you did was?
I did Vegas at Hard Rock in 2014.
Okay, so 2014, the first, and it was called CWCB.
No, back then
what was it called?
The International Tanning, or International Tanning.
I got you stuck on that now.
Yeah, the International Cannabis Association, we did, that was the name, that was the group that we did it with, and then we converted it to CWCB in 2015.
Okay. Okay, so did you do Vegas, and then it transferred over
We did Vegas and then New York.
Okay.
And then the following year in 2015, we changed the name for New York in 2015. So it's been under this name since then.
And what inspired the name change?
My new partners wanted a different name.
Okay, just kind of something that's... is generalized. And obviously they'd seen something in what you were doing, because not a lot of people... were doing shows. I mean, it was just me and MJ Biz
at the times. Yeah,
nobody else, you know. And then you start seeing guys spawning.
Oh, yeah.
All over the country.
And there's a lot of opportunity. We can only be so many places. And
They came in, and was it the reason of bringing in new partners was that they wanted to help you just expand it more? Did they have also convention?
Yeah, they were
experience.
Big, the people that run my partners, the ones that are running it. That really run the show.
But I mean, you would say you're the owner and founder, right?
I only own half the show now. But the
but you're an owner.
Yeah, no, so, I'm still an owner. Yeah, but the people that run it, their family started. They've been in the cannabis. They've been in the trade show industry for 40 or 50 years.
Wow.
And they've had a lot of huge...
Wow, yeah. 40 or 50 years.
Big shows.
Can we shout out?
Oh, yeah. H.A. Bruno is the name of the company.
Okay, so thank you guys for doing what you do and being in the industry for so long. And very taboo to choose, if you're already in that industry, to
roll
do
into
cannabis.
This industry, I know it.
Right? Like, would they think that, they start telling... convention centers and this, like, you know, and they're used to... What did they do? Give me an example of a convention they did prior, like before.
Franchising.
Oh, like the franchising.
The franchising show.
That's a fucking huge show.
No, hold on. And they're all over the world. They have like 15 shows, I guess.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
For franchising, they did the PC Expo, the computer show.
Oh, nice.
So they, I mean, they're a huge company.
Wow.
And when they approached us about it, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
right?
You guys know the business. I don't know anything about trade shows. I mean, I'm
well,
just...
Well, you
know,
tried to... Yeah, I mean,
I got
knew,
it started.
You knew enough.
I knew enough to get it started, but I don't know how to, you know, scale it. At least, the, you know, I could have figured it out, but if you have somebody that wants to do it, and they...
Sure.
You know, so then we joined up with that. So, you know, now I'm, you know, what am I going to do next? Like, I don't have any day-to-day responsibilities.
And that's what you're like, do the podcast.
Yeah, so I moved up into the mountains in Colorado and doing some skiing and do in the winter, and I'm going to do this. I'm doing this podcast for, because so many people.
Now, let's explain what it is.
Yeah, it's a podcast just for cannabis companies that are raising capital. And,
okay.
And our listeners are mostly investors that are saying, hey, Dan, which company should I invest in?
Yeah, because, like, this is the thing. You have this show. You have hundreds of booth exhibitors, right, that they're coming to your show, and now you're, like, getting an understanding of who they are.
Yeah.
What they do, what their company's like. And then you have thousands of people who come to the event, and now you're data collecting.
Yeah.
All of those various things, whether they're men, whether they're women, whether they're in security, whether they're in this, whether that. And now you are in the know of so much more than most people will get to know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fact. So obviously you're the type of person that a lot of people would come up to because you know so many people in the industry. And say, well, what's your advice?
Like, exactly.
You know? I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, and I'll tell you, when I listen to our sales guys talking to potential exhibitors, one of the most common things we'll hear is, I got to let you know, we're right in the middle of a Series A round. As soon as we wrap up this, I'm going to, you know, we'll be ready to commit. Or I got this angel investor, and like, everybody is raising capital. So that's one side of it.
Sure.
And then every one of my friends, or anybody, when they get introduced, what do you do? And I say, I run a trade show in the cannabis industry. Oh, who should I invest in? That's the next question. Okay.
Yeah,
so you have this one group out there that wants to invest.
Yeah.
And you have this other group out there that needs investments.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, podcasts would be kind of fun. I didn't realize how hard this was.
It's
Holy cow, is it hard.
You know what's funny is the interesting thing too is keeping a conversation going. See, people like realize, oh, you know, I get interviewed or something, you know, maybe it's 5 or 10 or 15 minutes. When you have a podcast, you're usually an hour, right?
No.
Or what do you?
What I do is I interview them for sometimes up to an hour, but I cut it down to 8 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
That editing process, so holy cow, is that hard?
The final rendered version is only 8 minutes, and very interesting.
Yeah, well, it's 10 with my intro and outro, but
okay.
But it's insane cutting. I mean, you know this better than anybody.
Yeah. Well,
that editing process is brutal.
Post-production is definitely, but that's also why we're on this. What we try to do is just be completely uncensored. And once it rolls, it rolls. So there isn't too much to edit, unless like maybe someone didn't talk as loud, and we can put up their volume. But if you're gonna cut it down to that much, you're really pulling the juice of the conversations, right?
Yeah. So you produce the episode, and you're really trying to identify the four or five, maybe three things that have to be in the interview.
Sure. So what are the most important things that you end up putting into your podcast? Let's talk about that.
There's four things that I want to make sure are in every podcast. So the first thing, it has to be, what was the problem or the deficiency or the need that you saw?
Sure.
So they have to identify the problem.
Okay.
Then they have to tell about how they're filling the problem.
Sure.
What they did to fill it. And then from there, it's where they're going to go or how they're going to go forward, what they're doing, what their growth plan is for the forward. So it's one, what's the problem? Two, how am I feeling the problem? Three, I'm getting our picture taken here. Hang
on. Absolutely.
It's three, where are you going? What's your growth plan?
Sure.
And the fourth piece is, how are you funding it?
Now, have you been able to put some things together already from a podcast, like brought a guy on and all of a sudden boom, got him a deal, or what happened?
Well,
what's been happening?
So I had a good one. I've had two pretty exciting ones happen so far. One was Monday, Can America went public in Canada. Yeah, they're good, great, really
good
guys.
I love those guys. We were actually, Purple Haze Properties was blessed to be the cover and the very first issue of Can America.
No way.
Yeah. I love those guys. They're really cool. So shout out to them going public.
So they went public on Monday in Canada, and we did their episode. I taped it in advance, but we aired it on Monday to pump it up. So that was a good one.
Nice.
And then the other one was kind of, this was out of left field. There's a company called Maple Leaf Green World.
Okay, and what was their idea?
They're a Canadian company.
Uh-huh.
And they have properties in Canada and in Nevada and Los Angeles. And I was like, I don't know if this one's going to go. Their stock went up after our interview. Like they were
really?
They're only like at 24 cents a share. But because everyone's so crazy about Canada right now,
uh-huh.
their stock went up to I don't know where it went, but a bunch of people called and said, hey, I heard that interview. I bought some stock. And I'm like, you would have never known about that stock for my interview.
No, that's awesome.
So those are two over the last week success
stories. Are you going to be weekly or what's the schedule?
Oh, get this.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'm going to try to do three a week.
Three a week is nuts, bro.
But I've been doing it for...
Well, I mean, I guess it's not bad when it's 8 minutes.
Well, it'd be easier probably if it wasn't, because I do it. I got tons of interviews.
Sure.
I have interviews.
Why if people are going to be listening anyway, why don't you just do the full hour?
Well, because I think...
Or half an hour.
I think the investors, you know, I don't think they have the attention span.
You'd be surprised. I've been doing a lot of these interviews, and if it's very engaging, it's not hard to get the guys... I mean,
maybe. I might expand it, but
comp a lot. Like, make it where it's a one hour show of a couple of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe break four down into like 15 minute deals.
Yeah, we could do one. Yep.
And then it's boom 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 boom, and then you can highlight instead of doing three a week.
Do
like a maniac.
Do one and one with three.
Yeah, exactly, with three or four, you know.
That's an idea.
Yeah,
and then get in the habit of releasing them like every Monday or something.
Yeah, exactly, and just be set up that way, so then you're not killing yourself, you know. Plus, I mean,
it
family, travel, and you got these shows.
Oh yeah, it's stressful. Like right now I edited 16 days in a row. Every day I edited another show for the last 16 days, so I was ready when I got here, so I didn't have to worry about it. All my shows are in place.
Sure.
I'm booked until... I have shows on ready to be launched, scheduled to be launched until like the 15th of November.
Oh, wow.
And then
where do you live? Where are you doing these shows? Or like, can people call in or this? Or are they physically coming into your...
We do it over... I do it over the phone.
Oh, because you do it on the phone too.
Sometimes I go to Denver and do an interview. If I'm in Denver, I'll go to somebody's place of business. Like I did Coda Signature. I don't know if I did theirs right out of their office. Most of the time I just interview people. I got a place in Beaver Creek. I don't know if you know. It's a ski resort.
Okay.
So, nice. So I live up there and
nice.
I was like, this will be easy. I'll do an interview, you know, and then ski, and then, you know, no. This is full on. This thing takes a lot of time. I think once I figure it out, it's going to get easier. But right now, it's full time.
It'll, like I said, as you do it, you know, I'm over on just my show that I produce on Purple Haze Radio. I think since January, we have over 150 shows just on my shows
since January.
Yeah I've put out about 150 shows already.
Oh my gosh.
And 1 hour shows. Mine are 40 minutes. Okay. And then my other celebrities, all of their shows, I have so many more, probably another 50 already of other shows that we have from other celebrities. So we're definitely rocking, adding more interesting stuff, and who knows, maybe we can talk and
I'd love to be
and work something
I'd
out with you
my,
and stuff.
I'd love to have you on my show,
you know, or no, actually broadcasting your show.
Oh,
you
wow
know, maybe talk about some kind of other little syndication
that'd
or something.
That'd be fun. That'd be really fun.
I gotta listen to some of these, man, and check out what's going on. So aside, now that Boston's done, you get a break, right? Because for the year, right? You're done.
Yeah, we don't do anything again
after this. You're good.
Yeah, but you know, our work is actually, when we get to the show, we're mostly done. It's the
everything getting to the point.
Yeah.
Once you get here, then it's already smooth running.
Pretty much. I mean, most of the work is done. I mean, now we are working on next year. I mean, New York is going to be on us before we know it. Like, you know, just lining everything up. But
at the same token, because you do three a year, and this is kind of the ender of it.
This gives us a little bit.
You do get to a little relax.
Yeah.
This is like a holiday time now for you, a little bit, right?
Yeah,
once this is done, it's like.
Yeah, exactly. And it usually times out pretty good too, because like I said, I ski, so. You know, right around, you know, fall into ski season, and right around the time, you know, so I get a chance to get a little bit of break, get some time out.
Hell yeah. And then let's give a shout out to some of the, you got some cool speakers. We got Montel.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool.
Coming, right? Yeah. And he's a cool cat, you know?
Well, we had Montel, you know, I gotta say I wasn't super excited about Montel, because I was like, you know, he spoke in Los Angeles. I think we had him 2 years ago. He's our best speaker we've ever had.
Yeah, right.
He is so good, and he's so authentic.
He's an eloquent dude.
He's authentic. That's the when you like, I mean, I was tearing up during his stuff, and I'm like, and I'm like, you can't fake this. Like,
sure.
Like when he was talking, yeah. Like, yeah. And I was like, wow, I completely missed this one. Cause he is, like I said, he's authentic. He talks the talk, like everything that he's saying, he's lived.
And aside from Montel, who was one of your other favorite speakers? I mean, you've had a ton of speakers like over the years.
Yeah.
So,
let's see. I liked, George Zimmer. He was from the Men's Warehouse.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Was it his
personality or this? What was it that made that you liked him so much?
Well,
about?
I mean, it starts off with he's a self-made guy. Okay,
sure.
So when you
sure
like and you, when you've been around guys like this that are self-made, kind of came up through the streets, like he's got this sort of swagger.
Okay.
But he's, you know, but it's not a cocky swagger.
And how does
it's,
he feel about this whole cannabis
he's
thing?
He's totally in. That's why, like, when he came, he was like, that's what made me. We had him maybe 3 years ago in L.A. And he's just, like, I was really motivated because I was like, well, here's a guy that, you know, gets it. And he's respected and, you know, he knows what he's doing.
Is he doing his own projects? Is he putting shit out or anything, or
I
what?
I think he was mostly just backing other people.
Backing.
I mean,
okay.
he's probably, I want to say he's probably in his 70s, but he's, but like I said,
did he say he uses it?
Oh yeah. He's full on.
And he says it helps him various methods.
And it's not just, and he's not late to the party either.
He's been
in this.
Really?
Like, he's probably, it was at Woodstock, I don't know, but he's...
No, really? It was like,
yeah,
like,
he's a full-on...
Wow, but, a hippie, for sure.
But he was, like I said, he's legit. I mean, the guy, I mean, he probably has a jet. I mean, he's a serious guy. And,
that's tight.
And he came to our show for no other reason other than to say, we need to get it behind this. And
that's
it was
awesome.
Like, it was like he had no agenda. And when he got there, he wasn't like, he didn't need an entourage. He didn't have, you know, nothing special. He walked the floor. Oh, the other guy that really was good... Gary Johnson, he ran for president.
I remember when he was a pretty cool dude. He definitely loves weed.
Oh man, he was so cool.
Yeah,
he was running for president of the United States. He was a former governor of New Mexico. Okay, so he's running for president.
Uh-huh.
In 2016.
And he's part of a public cannabis company, right?
Yeah. So 2016, I think it was before he was public. He might have had to sell his shares before he ran
something for president. Yeah.
So he's running for president. We're doing our New York show. He calls somebody, his PR person, says, I'm in New York. Can I come by? So they go. They get a hold of me. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, of course. And you even threw him a booth, right? I believe.
No. We shut the show down. We opened up. We made a big announcement. We put him in the middle of the show floor, and he spoke off the cuff. I said, he goes, how long do I have? I go, you have 12 minutes. He spoke for 11 minutes and 58 seconds. Like what a pro.
Really?
Came in with sneakers on, right, like super relaxed, shook hands with everybody, like not like a politician, but like, what are you doing? Let me understand what you're doing.
That's cool.
So he was, so those would be the top speakers, like my favorite speakers that we've had so far.
That's awesome.
And it was, again, most of the time for me, it's when I'm surprised. And Gary Johnson, like, he totally surprised me. Like, when he walked out, I said, no matter what, I'm going to vote for you.
That's cool.
Like everyone's like, oh, you know, you're throwing your vote away. I'm like, did any of the other guys come to my show?
Someone telling you you're throwing your vote away is kind of dumb, though.
Oh, I know.
Everyone's allowed their opinion.
Absolutely.
Of what they want and who
they
want.
But he came to my show.
Back.
Like, who else is going to, you know, you came to my show. Like,
that,
you know, you throw.
It's great. That is great.
It was so cool. But anyhows, yeah, so that's my...
Do you have any hopes, let's say, about certain things in the industry or some things that you'd like to see changed or better now that you've been so in-depth into so many of these businesses coming here and,
you know,
and putting out their booths?
I'll tell you what, I don't want to get too deep into this.
Sure.
Because, you know, I certainly don't want people to take this the wrong way.
No.
But sometimes... I tend to swim upstream on some of the issues, and one of the issues is I'm not as excited or as anxious for a lot of the federal legalization things.
Okay.
Because I think they're going to screw it up.
Sure.
I like states doing stuff on their own.
Okay.
And I think that And I think that it gives the opportunities for entrepreneurs
sure.
to invent new ideas and new ways of doing things that big companies don't have an incentive to do.
Sure.
And I think that some of the things that are happening in this industry as a result of the crazy legislation and the crazy laws
sure.
are creating new technologies and new way of doing business that otherwise wouldn't have got ever seen the light of day.
Sure.
And I think those are going to transcend when this happens. So
let me ask you, I know, you know, the main thing about the CWCB is that it's a business-to-business show. You know, it brings in a lot of speakers to educate people who are here and coming and looking at these different businesses in the business industry. You ever thought about a career day or this or something for general public? You ever think about doing the show and maybe adding that aspect so then the average individual could really get a shed a light on so many of these things that I don't even think that they would know were part of the cannabis industry? You know what I mean?
You know, we added Saturdays this year in a hope to try to open it up to more Can of Curious type of people, the entire kickers.
Now, can any individual
we still kept the prices kind of, you know, more geared towards. It's tricky because you have a certain audience and you want to stick with that audience.
Yeah.
And so you don't really want to drift too far away from your core customer.
Sure. But that's also why I was asking from a perspective of expansion or this. Is it something that you felt was needed or not? You know?
Well, I think,
at least with you, with what you're doing.
Well, with the trade show, I think that we have a pretty tight brand right now. We have to evolve, and we have to constantly be looking for where the opportunities are. But at the risk of alienating any of our current customers,
sure.
you know, we want to be careful, make sure that we're bringing the people that we're telling them we're going to bring.
Yeah,
them.
Of course.
We don't want to bring in, you know, a different. They're all customers are good, but we have a certain demographic that we sort of cater to.
Sure.
And that's what we're known for. So I don't want to get too far off the mark.
Yeah, I just meant as like a one day or a half day or just something
it's definitely,
to be like, oh, you know, because you never know that person walking in, how much of an impact. Or even some of these guys are looking for employees or this or people that they think would be added benefit to the company. And sometimes you never know.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good, you know, my... We're really going off the ranch right now, but my daughter has a business, and their business, they end up doing career days a lot, and that's one of her name of her company is Vanks, and they do career days.
Oh, shout out to Vanks. Yeah. That's the telephone communications, or what is Vanks?
No, they do placement, career. They're recruiting
company. Oh, nice.
Cannabis recruiting company.
Oh, a cannabis recruiting company. All right, so got to give a shout out to the daughter's company.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're killing it. And
spell that for our stoners.
V-A-N-G-S-T.
And is that, what's the website?
Vanks.com.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, there.
And then obviously for the show, it's CWCBE.com.
Yep.
And then, where everybody could check out all the different stuff. And then you guys have been throwing a bunch of cool parties too. LA was pretty rocking, right?
Yeah, LA was at the Grammys Museum, which was really cool.
A cool place to hold it, right?
Yeah, afterwards I went down and walked through the museum like, wow, I've been going to this. We've had this show here for 4 years and I haven't been through this museum. It's right next to where we were.
Yeah, and it gives you
really
an opportunity
cool.
to get to do something
yeah, so
cool
we had the
while
Grammy,
you're
we
in
had
the loop of it, you know?
And we had the boat. We had a yacht party in New York where they took it around the harbor and over
that's,
to the Statue
that's
of Liberty.
Pretty cool.
That was cool.
Hell yeah.
Tonight we're at the Science Museum. We're having a party there tonight, but... So that's that, and then my website for the podcast, if anybody's interested, is MJ Bulls. It's a bull market because it's the
absolutely
the
MJ,
bull market. MJBulls.com.
And then they could also search you on iTunes to hear old episodes.
Oh yeah, iTunes or Skechers or Android, all the different places where you
now. What is you mentioned to me Skechers? I hadn't heard that before. What is that?
It's another podcast
platform.
Platform. Yeah,
okay.
I'm new to it too, and but yeah, like from the research that I've done. So you have the Apple iPod or Apple podcast.
Sure.
Is like 85 or 89% of the market.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah, because most people, that's what they know.
And then Skechers is number two at like, I don't know, 7%, 6%.
Really?
Yeah, but it's bigger than, and it's, and but yeah, so I'm on that. So that's one of the, and then you know, there's like SoundCloud and
Spotify
and different places. But like I said, most of my, when I look at my stats, like everything's coming in either directly from my website or from iTunes. Like you can listen to it on my website, but most of it's coming in from iTunes.
And that's usually the best way. But if people don't have iTunes, they can catch it on Spotify, like you said, right?
Yeah.
And then do you also archive them on the actual site?
Oh, yeah, it's on my website. Yeah, too, so it's mjbulls.com.
People could just go right there and hear it. And that makes it a lot easier.
And I have a little blurb about each company, and you can get the links to their company right from the website. So
now you also doing a little social media around it? Yeah. You got an Instagram up for it yet or
yep.
no?
Yeah, the Instagram is MJ Bulls Podcast.
And then is there an Instagram for CWCB? Yeah, there is, right? Yeah. Is that what it is, or is it CWCB official?
Well, I should know this.
I should know, but if you go on the website, you can link to it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, awesome. That's great. And then are there more locations you're thinking about next year, or are you just locked in where it's like New York,
there's no
LA,
yeah,
bubble, you know what I mean? Like Boston.
I mean, we wanted to plant our flags in those markets because, let's face it, you get we own the two biggest markets in the country.
Sure.
Boston, we'll see where that goes. I mean, I think the New England cannabis industry at some point is going to burst. It's going to burst. And
some things just kind of take a slow pace. I mean, let's be realistic. A lot of states don't want to go as fast as Colorado, you know, and Oregon and some of these other things, and they got to go at their own pace. But I do think that the more, now you got New Jersey, people coming to Atlanta. So you got Rhode Island, you got Boston, you got Maine, you got more and more of these pretty conservative states, you know, on the East Coast turning a foot. I think there's going to be a lot of more education, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot more awareness.
Yeah.
You know, which is always a great thing. And it's a great thing that you're doing this because you're giving so many people a chance to show who they are, because nationwide, there's so many businesses out there trying to get into cannabis. And who are they competing with? I mean, how is someone going to know who you are? You know what I mean? Unless you go and exhibit, go to shows where you can put yourself out there to people from all over the United States, you know, who are interested. And a lot of these people aren't necessarily want to be known, right? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that are curious and are dabbling and are interested in getting into this industry, and they just want to walk around and see what's up and make their own decisions without being in the face, and you're giving those people that outlet.
Right.
You know, especially speaking. I mean, that's another cool component to the show that you do. It's not like when you go to Magic, you know, which is a clothing show, or you go to, you know, the Toy Fair, or you go to these different shows where it's booth by booth by booth by booth by booth, and there's nothing else.
Right.
I think the education factor, giving people knowledge on lots of great topics. I mean, you talk about laws, right?
Yeah.
You got celebrities talking about different stuff.
I think the education component of what we do for the cannabis industry, like the conference aspect of our shows, is really the most important aspect of it.
Sure.
Because if we do a good job there, then the rest of it takes care of itself. And the way we do a good job is to identify who the right people are to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then just making sure that we accommodate those people.
What are some of the favorite topics that you've kind of heard, or was there some that kind of just like ringing out and you're like, man, that was fucking cool? Or,
well, I like it, you know, right now there was an interesting topic last month. We were in Los Angeles, and there was a really interesting topic about where they thought banking was going to go.
Sure.
And it was, the people that were talking were involved, were at the state level, so they could talk with some authority. And just listening to how they were talking about that as it pertained to cryptocurrency, really kind of, you know, I just find that fascinating to begin with. And
sure.
I think that cryptocurrency is something that's going to happen, and it's going to affect us. It's going to affect
happening.
Our lives.
Yeah, and yeah. The younger generations aren't going to know what it's like without it, actually.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy.
Right, exactly. It'll be sort of like the internet. Like, you're the group of kids that were you know, have never been without the internet.
Or yeah, so you don't know what it's like. Where you and I remember Atari, ColecoVision, and fucking pagers. And like cell phones, like, you know, the size of a fucking...
I know, and I remember I got my first NEC, I was like... Guys, look at this. It's not connected to my car.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
I don't have it. I don't need to be in my car to use this.
I know, right? It's so crazy. And it's pretty amazing watching how things are evolving, right?
Oh, yeah. But the back to the show, there's going to be a time, and it's not that far away, where mainstream businesses are going to gravitate to this industry, and they're going to want to do it at the shows that they feel most comfortable with.
Sure, absolutely.
And those are the ones that adhere to a certain brand.
Okay.
And I think that, back to your question before, you know, do you want to dabble with this? Yeah, there's an opportunity there.
Sure.
But we see that at some point, mainstream businesses are going to be in exhibiting at shows like
this. This is a shout out. Let's do a shout out to Bic Lighters.
Yeah, okay? Bic.
Here's a perfect example of someone on this show floor in the cannabis industry that I would never have thought would be paying for a booth. You know what I mean? And that shows right there, shit's changing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's fucking cool.
Yeah, you know? They're the first of, you know, many, many, many companies. And so when the marketing person for BMW says, hey, we need to be at a cannabis show.
Oh, and that's the other thing. Let's shout out. You brought a fat... I'm not talking about like a cheap BMW. You brought a fucking animal-looking BMW with the fucking doors come up. And
Los Angeles? Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah.
What model was that? Do you even know?
I-8.
And it's like a special hybrid. It looked like a fucking Lamborghini.
It's like 180?
It was ridiculous.
$180,000.
Yeah. Again,
but it was made with hemp. There was like 20% of the parts in it were hemp.
Are you fucking
That's why we had it
me?
There. No, that's
I,
why we had
I
it there.
I just thought that, oh my god, like
you thought we were being cool.
Yeah, no. just setting up the level to get BMW to bring one of those bad boys in. Which again, at a cannabis show,
right?
Regardless, a big company like that was like, yeah, we want to fucking do that.
Yeah, so that's
they're proactive that they're using hemp. You know, products
right
in the cars.
So then we say, hey, by the way, Mercedes, BMW's exhibiting at our show. And they're like, oh, what do you mean? We better be there. And then, oh, by the way, Ford, Mercedes, and BMW are at our show. You better be there.
That's wild.
And that's just like, but that's how it's going to happen.
Sure.
And when it does, we want to be in New York and Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
And already own those markets, which we do.
Yeah, so that's tight. That's very cool. And I definitely appreciate the vision that you have and putting this together and, you know, again, giving all these vendors and exhibitors such a great opportunity. If you were to give advice out to someone listening on the radio interested in wanting to get into the cannabis industry, what would you say?
Well, the thing I tell everybody is you just gotta do it. You can't think about it. You can't research and analyze in this paralysis through analysis. Start something. Just start something. It'll morph into something else. It won't end up being what you thought it was going to be, like with your show, like Purple Haze. It's in a different place today than it was when you started.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing about cannabis, is that no one knows where it's going.
Yeah.
No one knows where it's going. Yeah. So quit trying to figure out how to be in the right place at the right time. Just get in the game. Because once you're in the game, then you can kind of find where you fit in and where you're, and you will figure it out. Everyone does.
If you have the passion.
You got to have
the drive.
I mean, that's what it means.
Not everyone, it's going to work out.
But if you want to get into business, cannabis is a great industry to get into.
Yeah.
And if you're passionate about being in business, and even if you're even, you don't even need to be passionate. I don't even think you need to be passionate about cannabis, but you need to be passionate about, I think, the industry.
Yeah.
And
you don't have to love smoking weed.
Exactly.
To appreciate cannabis industry, businesses, work
and the people ethic and the people in this because when you get in this, the people in this industry are really cool.
Yeah.
Like that's the it's so much fun, and you'll get sucked up into it. Like before you know it, you'll be like, these are my peeps now. Like yeah. you would have never thought that they were your people. Like right now, but they're like my friends right now are in the cannabis industry. I couldn't have said that.
I know.
20 years
yeah,
ago,
people think you're fucking nuts.
Right, but that's what my peer group are cannabis people. So this is it's crazy. That this is, but they are. It's a really really cool industry, and and once you're in it, until you're in it, you won't appreciate what I'm talking about. But
sure.
once you're in it, you'll be like,
you don't want to leave.
You don't want to leave because it's a riot. This is so much fun,
dude. That's awesome. Thank you so much, man, for everything you do. Appreciate the wonderful show that you put on and the podcast that you're doing. And I definitely enjoy covering your events.
Oh, thanks. And, thank you for doing these.
We look forward to many more and everything. So thank you, bro.
Andrew, thank you, too.
Yeah, man, for everything you do. And let's take a break.
Okay.
And we'll be interviewing.
Missed your 420.
Yeah, I missed my 420. I don't know if you want to join me for a little toke, but we'll see either way.
Okay.
All right, my brother. I'll talk to you soon.
That sounds good. All thanks.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio. Crowd get loud like the sound of a gang.